This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Powerade, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Drowsiness runs deep. Let it be our decree. Wake each other up. Wake each other up. We're in a sad state of urgency. Time to clean away the debris. Saying nothing, keep the peace. Does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up. From the habit of the past. Wake each other up. Feel that motivating blast. Wake each other up. Don't be distracted.
And welcome to the revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I know I am not Juan McCartney. This is Calhoun Ankusara sitting in for my brother Juan McCartney. It's another Friday, and we're going to take the revolution for another spin around the block. Last week it was raining. This Friday is sunny. So I pray you're staying cool on this Friday, or as some would say, Friday. And today, I got a couple of guests that I'm going to be bringing into the forefront in just a second. Today's show is going to be a lot like last week's show. Brother C.A. Nuri is going to pop in at some point. And then I got some other guests. All right. The first part of this show is dealing with this reality of a nation not being able to climb any higher than its women. And that's a touchy topic for some people, because even women will tell you women ain't supposed to be in leadership in this country. You know what I mean? And it's something that, because it's a touchy situation, you know, I can talk about it. You know, I can make sure that we have the conversation, because there's a lot around this conversation that can be had. But I want to start today's show with a clip from another controversial person in the person of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he had some words to say from his Muslim perspective, but I think, you know, anybody could garner or learn from what it is that he's talking about. And so I want to start, and then I got a guest all the way from London, you know, from where the Queen Nemesis be, you know what I mean? And then I got a guest from right here in Nassau. I'm going to introduce them in a second, but producer, are you ready with that first clip? All right, so you could start that. I'll tell you when to stop, but let's just listen and then we'll talk.
Now, if you notice, I have around me tonight sisters. Yeah. I want to send a message to the entire world that the world is in the condition that is in because the world disrespects women. The world is headed into hell because the world disrespects Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the major contributor to the freeing of women. Unfortunately, traditions that are foreign to Islam have crept into Islam to push the woman out of that which Almighty God intends for her. The oppression of women in the world is a manifestation of the weakness of the societies of the earth. Listen, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Allah is self-created. The Quran says, He begets not, nor was He begotten. Well, if He was not begotten, He's self-created. And if He's self-created and created Himself out of the black womb of the darkness of space, think about it. He has so much respect for that womb, He kept going back into it, creating sun and moon and stars and planets. Whenever a people disrespect the womb, they cut off their creative powers. When you disrespect woman, you disrespect that which absolutely shows you a part of the nature of God Himself. This is why the oft-repeated words of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You have Rahman and you have Rahim. You have the pot coming out of the nature of God, out of the love of the Creator. He creates and does good for all His creatures. Another part out of His love called Rahim, or mercy, undeserved kindness, where He gives to you and you don't deserve anything. A mother will love her child when it is wrong. She will love it and be kind to it when it doesn't deserve it. This is part of her nature. When man denies woman, he denies a part of his own nature that gives him balance. This is why the world is messed up today. You have denied woman, and you have denied the quality of mercy in your own self. So I have sisters around me to say to the whole world, the woman must play an important part in the development of the nation, or the nation will go to hell.
Words of the minister, Louis Farrakhan, and it's a lot more juicy nuggets in there, but I wanted to start here. To have a special guest in studio and one on Zoom. The one in studio is none other than Minna Vazir, or Associate Pastor Aminet Hikaka, also known as Tisha Fritz Enius. And I want to say good afternoon and namaste, my sister.
Good afternoon and namaste.
No, she can act shy now. You getting the flow of it, right? She's you know, getting introduced to the radio. And then we have another guest on Zoom. I want to make sure she's here with us. Our Kahun Tefnut, all the way from London, England. Can you hear us, my sister? Are you there with us?
Namaste, Kahun Uncle. Yay. Namaste, my sister. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Were you able to hear the clip that we played just now, Kahun Tefnut? I'm not sure.
Okay. I did.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, it was lovely.
I want to jump right in. In the Bahamas, in the Bahamas and around the world, there's a thought process that says that women just shouldn't be speaking out in the churches. They shouldn't be preaching. They shouldn't be vocal. They should not be leading in any way. I want to start with you, Kahun Tefnut. What say you? What is your position or the position of the Holy Coptic Church? And tell a little bit about yourself. You're a Calhoun of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah in London, England. Give us a little insight into who you are, and then dive right in into that question, if you don't mind, please.
No, I don't mind. That's okay. Yeah, sure. So, as I've been introduced, my name is Calhoun Tefnut, and born and raised in London. I worked as a childcare assistant and nursery nurse for many years, and then went into accounting. But for me, you know, I wasn't mixing with the, you know, people too much. And I like to mix with people, and I like to talk, and I love our story, our history, as they call it. So, you know, I was always had, you know, my own little projects or folders that I used to pin the, you know, pictures of sisters and try and piece the bits of puzzles together of our story.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I can continue, this was a young age. And when I was about 18, I decided that was it. I was going full on. Mm. You know, I was going to start researching my story because I really wanted to know. There were so many religions around and I didn't know which one I really belonged to.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on a journey and you know, I met people. I met Baba Tumre and, you know, fortunately here today I met, you know, Alba Sesh, Haru Hotepta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on this road and, you know, started teaching myself and teaching the children, and we had Sunday school, and you know, been, you know, ordained and you know, stepped up now to be a Calhoun of the Holy Coptic Church, which, you know, it's our job to make sure that we wake up each other, wake up our people, our, you know, and know where we are, where we're going, and what's actually happening in the real world today. And so today I've taken that upon myself to say, okay, this is me from here on out.
Wow.
And this is, you know, part of my risk to make sure that we spread atonism around the world.
Yes. Yes. So you were embraced within the leadership of this church. I mean, explain how women are embraced or what, you know, we talked about the fact that in some places women just, their voices are not really appreciated. They're not necessarily seen as what's necessary in leadership. But give us a little insight into that viewpoint from your experience within the Holy Coptic Church.
Sure. So what I've researched, read, and, you know, seen for myself, just going around, you know, different parts of Africa as well, that women have been, you know, they have a voice, but not at the forefront. Mm. And when you kind of read as to where does this stem from, where does it go back to? Now, depending on how far you go back, and if you're going back to where, you know, the Greco-Roman religions, be it the three monotheistic religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that the women are sitting of these religions.
Mm-hmm.
But prior, if you go pre those religions and read, you know, further back, there were women who were teaching. Not only were there women leading, there were women who were, you know, skilled in armed forces,
wow.
skilled in being able to lead soldiers, skilled in battle, skilled mm. in able, who were able to, you know, be strategic in how those battles were carried out. And these women were at the forefront of many nations within the African, you know, continent.
Mm-hmm.
But along came the European, the Western religions, and they brought in and suppressed those women and those societies known as the matriarchal societies until it's the point where, you know, we're taught that, or yeah, we're taught nowadays that, you know, women, you, this is your job here. And, you know, as many of us would have heard, but slowly that's starting to change. As many of us would have heard that a woman's job is in the house and the kitchen. Now, that's not to say that's completely wrong.
Mm.
However, not our only job. And, you know, these religions hold back women, and where the women were up front and they were priestesses as well. This time you'll find that you'll see that now that's, you know, they've literally wiped out the woman, wiped out her important, her role, and put the man up front, or, you know, the Greco-Roman religions up front to say this is how it should be, when it wasn't actually that way. Mm. Men and women, as male and female, partnered together because we realized that our strength was working together.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for that. Minavazea Aminet Hikaka, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful today, Calhoun.
Yes, so just give us a little bit of insight on who you are and your role as a, we say this fancy word, Minavazea, but it's not only or merely an associate pastor, but right. That's kind of the best way to translate it. But again, give us your take or your understanding of this Greco-Roman mindset of women not being in leadership and how it differs from our original ways.
Right. Namaste and good afternoon, everyone and all the listeners out there. My name is Aminet Hikaka, and I'm also known as Tisha Fritz Aeneas. Mm-hmm. And I am a proud member and Minavazer, or associate pastor of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, Journey Home Group International. And so just to give an example of, as our Calhoun, who is a high priestess of the Holy Coptic Church, she was mentioning about the different periods of going back to our original ways and knowing that our women had strategic roles to play alongside of the men. Mm-hmm. And I want to start with, because we have to go back to where did this start from the Greco-Roman perspective. And I want to throw scripture out there.
Sure.
Just so that we can identify,
have a reference point
to exactly where it all stands from. And because many of us, especially in the Bahamas, we call ourselves a Christian nation. And the fact that we follow the Bible, or let's say follow the words of the Bible, so to speak. And so I want us to go to 1 Timothy 2, mm-hmm. verse 12. And it speaks, "But I suffer not a woman to teach and to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence."
So you need to be quiet right now.
and so that verse itself speaks to us about women not being able to teach in the church, because it seems in this verse that it's basically saying that if she stands in the forefront, she's now taking authority over the man.
And usurping
the authority of the man.
Right.
And in actuality, our roles in our original ways was not usurping the authority of the man.
Oh.
We were literally reinforcing the instructions of what the men had put in place, because in ancient Tamaray, we said, or in Atonism, we said women are the tribal
leaders
and men are the tribal rulers. And in that aspect, again, I'm going to go to Proverbs 1, mm-hmm. verse 8,
okay.
where it speaks about instructions of the men and honoring the instructions of the father and honoring the law of the woman.
Mm.
And so even if we look in our homes today,
and I can read it if you need me to read it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it says Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, not the law of thy mother." Okay.
So we're both playing roles.
Wow.
in society, in our homes, wherever we go, we're both playing.
So that sound like when I was growing up, I could tell your daddy when he come home. I said to do X, yes. Y, and Z. The children did A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have some things to deal with if the children ain't listening. Okay.
Exactly. And so, and it's all about us working together and reinforcing what it is that that the leaders have put in place, that the rulers have put in place, what is, who is our men. Mm-hmm. So we're not taking away from the usurping the authority of the men. We're literally leading with you and reinforcing what you're putting in place.
Okay, and Calhoun, definitely. This verse is intriguing, and it talks about this law of the mother. Could you speak a little bit about this law, and, you know, what it is, and, you know, how does a mother have a law, if you don't mind?
Mm-hmm. No. So when we're here talking about the law of the mother, we take it back within, because we have our Bible within the Holy Coptic Church, and that's, you know, we call it the original. Yeah, we said we have it, the original books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And these are our stories coming from this perspective, from an African point of view, rather than anybody else's point of view trying to tell our story. Mm-hmm. And within that, we have these laws, which we call the Ma'at. Mm. Mm. And let me go to it now.
Sure. M-A-A-T, or M-A hyphen, A, not hyphen, but apostrophe, A-T.
That's Ma'at. The one. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just for the listeners out there. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And within that, this is what we call the Book of the Divine Principles of Ma'at. Mm-hmm. Which is the balancement, or the universal balancement of deeds. Mm-hmm. And within that, you have the laws which we follow, which is in line with nature.
That's right.
And just for example, I'll give you one which will be like, and does it, and you tell me, does it sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me go to one which is right here. Bismillah Rabb al-Khalq al-Kareem. And it says, O humanity, universal order and the balancement of deeds is long-lasting and also serious, thereby cannot be tampered with, having another outside of your personal genealogy or genetic family paying for what you have done, as this is the only way by which to satisfy the laws of the divine principles of Ma'at.
Wow. Go ahead.
No, that was in part.
Okay.
And so there you see, it sounds very familiar, like the sons will not pay for the sins of the father. Yes. Where does that come from?
Right.
Look at these ancient tablets that were written thousands of years before, which we now can again read in what we now know as the Bible. Mm-hmm. These laws of Ma'at is a feminine force, which, you know, something that we followed because we knew that that force or that polarity was what governed alongside Jehovah's Sand.
Yes.
So this is to do with a lot of things that have been taken from that female force or those laws. And this is something that we live by each and every day. And it goes through. And then what has happened is over the hundreds and thousands of years later, has been translated, taken, and watered down into what you have as the Ten Commandments.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So these laws, these Ten Commandments, are coming out of these divine laws of Ma'at, which are the laws of thy mother. I learned some stuff today. I don't know about y'all, but we're going to run to a break. And all I can say is buckle up. We're going to have some calls and some texts coming in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Calhoun Onku sitting in for Juan McCartney on The Revolution. Keep it locked. Back after this.
The debris, saying nothing just to keep the peace, does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up.
Celebrate every day like a birthday with Marco's Pizza Carryout Special. Spend less and get more with our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. Every single day for only $10.50. Marco's Pizza, where every day something special happens. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat. Branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Feel the glory of the 2022 World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Feel the glory as Team Bahamas strides for gold July 15th through 24th. The World Athletics Championships. 10 days, 2,000 athletes, over 200 countries battle for supremacy. Join Guardian Media for daily updates on Team Bahamas at the World Athletics Championships at Track City, USA, Bahamas, and by Powerade, distributed by the Caribbean Bottling Company. Feel the glory at the World Athletic Championships 2022.
Sone Milovivo opens the throttle and comes down the home stretch with a commanding advantage.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Let it be our decree. Wake each other up. Wake each other up.
We're in a sad state of urgency. Time to clean away the debris. Saying nothing just to keep the peace does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up.
And welcome back to The Revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahuna and Kusara sitting in for our brother Juan McCartney today on a Friday. It's hot outside. Please stay cool. Like I said, last week it was raining. This week is hot. The text line is open, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. I have a caller on the line, and we'll jump back in with our Kahun Tefnut and Minavazir Aminet. But let's take this call, and then we'll dive back into the conversation. Caller, you're on The Revolution.
Good person, good morning, Mr. Fritzy Enos Jr.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sparky.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
All right. Well, I hope you give me a moment here because, you know, you've been telling people things for a long time. But some of our people don't like to hear the truth.
Right.
They like to hear the things where they were brainwashed. And I'm sorry, good morning to your guests, too.
Good morning.
They hate to admit, sir, that they've been brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
From a child, they don't even know why they became a Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, or Seventh Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were made by their parents and the parents back before them. They came down that line. They visited a different church, and they moved from a Catholic, they become Anglican. Somebody invited them to go to another church, or next Sunday they had to be a Baptist. They keep looking for the right preacher, the right doctrine, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But we go through these things, but when we hear the truth, and people start to tell you black and white, they don't want to talk about that either. They want. I was born, I was christened an Anglican in 1950. If you 2 seconds, give me a moment. In 1951.
Yeah, 2 minutes, Rocky, because we got to keep it moving.
Yeah, okay. I was christened Anglican, brought up Anglican, came. When I became a man, they said, when you become a man, you put away all childish things. We have friends of ours. When we became independent, Mr. Pendleton sent people off to different universities and so forth around the world, and they came back with hearts, change of hearts and minds. About their other country.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend of mine went to government eye with me. We both grew up in St. George's Church. He went off to study accounting. He came back and he said, Mr. Inyas, he said the worst thing he had to tell his mother was that he was a Muslim now.
Uh-oh.
Now he's the leader of the Muslim church down on
Carmichael
Road.
Okay.
Mr. Pascal Hebert, I think I forgot his new Muslim name now.
Mm.
He's still an accountant.
Right.
His family is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what his mother told him? Sir, I don't care what you change your religion to, but you're still my son named Pascal.
Amen.
So the problem is in our country is that we don't want to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. If you go to somebody, you tell them Allah or Akbar, Assalamu Alaikum, they think you cuss them. Mm. They don't know that you just said God is greater than I greet you in peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. They think you cuss them. I say, no, that's not Muslim. Muslim is a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Allah or Akbar is a language.
Thank you.
That's yes. Arabic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is Arabic. That's what Jesus spoke.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke Arabic.
Galilean,
Jesus didn't speak English language.
Right.
What we read is what was translated by 47 Oxford scholars in 1604 in England underneath King James and released it in 1611 and sent to the world, and then they brainwashed us with that book from then. And all of us come up with that. And if we go against that in this country, everybody say you're a heathen or you don't believe in God. Because you don't believe in somebody they call a white, blue-eyed Jesus. That means you don't believe in God. I believe in God. But I don't worship no man that walked the face of the earth. God never died. God never walked the face of the earth. God in charge of the earth.
Thank you, Brother Sparky. You know, and again, that's why we do these shows, to give a different perspective on God, on religion, on just the reality of what we as a people have been facing for so long. Today, we're really touching on the reality of how women have been really held back in monotheism. And one of the things, Calhoun Tefnut, I know somewhere in London, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but they have a whole papyrus called the Calhoun Papyrus. And that's in London, correct, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere in the UK?
I've been told, yes, it was in London.
Okay.
I haven't been fortunate enough to go and see it myself.
Okay.
But yes, that's from what I've read as well, that it is here.
Because this term, Calhoun, when they hear it, I think it's important that people understand that the first, you know, Calhoun, or the ones that in the ancient times were women.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, there's a whole, I'm just pulling up online, the Calhoun. These are gynecology. This word is beating me up right now.
Gynecologist.
Yes, thank you. All right, papyrus, but it's literally a medical papyrus, but this is not the Ebers, but this is an actual. It's called the Calhoun papyrus, and these were women who were scientists. You know, and like you were saying, Calhoun Tefnut, you know, in our matriarchal societies, women didn't just, you know, cook and have babies and stay home and clean up, you know, right? Tell us how you as a Calhoun, someone who you're in the leadership within, but you have to function as a woman as well. There are other aspects of you functioning as a woman. Explain to our listeners out there just a bit more in terms of being in leadership and also having to deal with your role as a woman in the home.
Okay. Wow. Yep, sure will do. But firstly, I just looked up online as well about the Calhoun papyruses, and it's kept at the University College in London.
Okay.
So thank you for that. I'll be making some movements to actually go and see that.
Okay.
It's the oldest known medical text that they have.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's something that we'll be looking into as well. And I'll probably be taking whoever I can with me to come and have a look at it if they allow.
Yeah, and you can always come back on the show and tell us how it was.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So my role with being a Calhoun, as well as being a mother, as well as being a wife, it's something that you have to learn and you have to organize, because you know, you don't wake up one day and say, right, I've got it all together, I've got this, and I'm balancing everything on my two shoulders, my head and my toes and everything else as well. You know, you find yourself and you organize yourself and you learn. And as you're learning, you know, especially as, you know, as we know, we're learning our scriptures and we go along and we see, okay, this is how, you know, our great women of the past used to handle. Yes. This is what they used to do. And we lean on those who are our, you know, our elders, as well as, you know, we look at the instructions and the books and the codes that our women have left from before us. Mm-hmm. For example, Frances Cress Welsing, mm-hmm. you know, just to name a few. And they give great inspiration. That's your life. You know, this is how we used to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, firstly, as a kahuna, I read, and I try to read every day. If I don't get to read every day, I try to read every other day, because mm-hmm. reading is so important. Mm-hmm. And I read with my children. I used to read with my children, but the two are quite old now. So they are not, they're older, I should say, they're older. So it's just the younger one where we read. And, you know, I will teach him, okay, so what you've read, what have you read? And we talk about, we have conversations around that. And you can build around, you know, activities with your children or with your child. And then, you know, your house needs to be dealt with, or your home needs to be dealt with. And you kind of find a routine within yourself, within the doctrine, to carry out all your tasks. Now, do I need help? Yes, of course I do. I'm not superwoman, you know, although we try to be sometimes, and we wonder, you know, where does this come from? Mm-hmm. Right. But we find a way to, you know, make sure that we get up in the morning, the family's eaten, we, you know, arrange our food, our dinner. We, you know, we have our kohen services that we do. We have the kinesa to look after. So we lean on each other as women, as brothers and sisters as well, to say, look, this needs to be done. So if you can do this, it allows me to do more in the home.
Wow.
If my sister does this, it allows me to be able to deliver the next sermon on the Sunday. And that's how we come together as a community, in order for it able to be done. So, you know, it's not something that I'm able to do on my own and do it well, but as much as I can, mm-hmm. I do. And I'll just let you know that one of the things that, you know, growing up, I used to, you know, go out a lot and socialize and be one of those social-like people. And as I came into the Holy Coptic Church, I realized that those friends that I had at that time slowly started to disappear.
Wow.
Because, you know, you've now found something that's like, look at this. This is amazing to hear this information, to hear the story, and, you know, your friends then are not interested. And then you'll find that you do start to find people or come closer to brothers and sisters who are interested in the same as you. And as you're going along, then you actually really get to know yourself and what you're capable of and what you can do.
Powerful.
And within that, you know, you continue and you make it happen.
Yes, yes. But Colin, definitely, we got to take another break, a news break, and then we're going to wrap up this segment of the show. I appreciate you joining with us all the way from London. And it was Aminette, she'll be with us for the whole show. C.A. Nuri is going to be with us on the next side of the break as well. We're going to run to news here on The Revolution 96.9, Guardian Radio, Fresh News, Smart Talk, All Day, Kahunaku, and guests on the air today. Keep it locked.
Wake each other up. From the habit of the past, break each other up. Feel that motivating blast.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is the Guardian News Network update on the hour. Hello again, everyone. I'm Charlene Ferguson. 43-year-old parking attendant Tanya Demerit admitted in court yesterday to bribing Long Island. After taking a plea deal and pleading guilty to 16 counts of bribery, conspiracy, fraud, and money laundering, she verified the prosecution's claims that as director of Elite Maintenance Limited, she helped others bilk the Water and Sewage Corporation out of more than $700,000 in contracts between 2019 and 2021. She has agreed to testify against her alleged co-conspirators in that case, including Gibson, who is facing 56 counts of bribery, receiving, and money laundering. In other news, Deputy Prime Minister and MP for Exuma Chester Cooper says penalties should be imposed on those found responsible for that oil spill in Exuma Wednesday. He told members of the press an investigation is underway to determine what happened.
Should there be penalties? Well, if there was recklessness, my view is there should be penalties. So we'll see. We'll await the outcome of the investigation.
That investigation is being led by the Ministries of Environment and Transport. Officials have been told that oil leaked through a hose when cruise members of the MT Arabian were offloading a shipment of diesel to BPL early Wednesday morning.
And police are questioning a 29-year-old suspect in connection to the stabbing death of a man on Paradise Island yesterday. We're told the two men had gotten into an argument in the area of the docking terminal just after 8 a.m. when one stabbed the other multiple times to the upper body. Police are now from heated conversations before they turned violent. That was making headlines at this hour. Stay with us. AP Update is next.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
How are you talking about any Christmas yet?
The kids are going back to school. So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices. Summer break, it's almost over, and our back-to-school supplement is filled with brand-name back-to-school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your Nassar Guardians back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. The House committee investigating the Capitol riot resumes hearings in September last night.
Panel member Elaine Luria says when Trump returned to the Oval Office after whipping up backers at a rally, he was quickly told about the riot.
Within 15 minutes.
Yet for 187 minutes, Luria and Adam Kinzinger said the president simply watched the violence on TV.
He chose not to act.
Instead, White House aide Sarah Matthews, who quit on the spot, said the president poured gas on the fire with a tweet calling Vice President Pence a coward for not going along with his false stolen election claims.
It was essentially him giving the green light to these people.
The president eventually told backers to go home. The next day, in a previously unaired outtake of a speech to the nation.
This election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
I'm Ed Donahue.
This update on the World Athletics 2022 World Championships in Eugene, Oregon is brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas and by PowerAid, distributed in the Bahamas by the Caribbean Bottling Company. Well, as the World Athletics 2022 World Championships wind down in Eugene, Oregon, Team Bahamas still in search of their first medal. That could very well happen tonight when Olympic champion Shawnee Miller-Weibo lines up in lane 3 for the final of the women's 400 meters. The gun sounds at 7:15 for this one, and Bahamians everywhere bracing for it. Shawnee ran a season's best of 40 in the semifinals earlier, and tonight she'll be flanked by 5 other Caribbean counterparts, including 2 Jamaicans, Stephanie Ann McPherson and Candice McLeod, and 2 Dominicans, Fiorda Lisa Cofil and Marilini Paulino, the only other runner to dip under the 50-second mark in the season's best time of 49.49. Back right after this.
Right now, replenish me, hydrate me, bring power to my game. Oh, so let me have it. I need some power. So tell me, what's your flavor? Power. I got my game face on. I'm ready. Got my vitamin, electrolytes. Got the power.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Well, today marks day 8 of the 10-day World Championships. Day 9 tomorrow will showcase our national record holder in the women's 100-meter hurdles, Devin Charlton. The heats in that event start at 11:20 Saturday morning. The semis and final set for Sunday afternoon, the final day of competition. Well, late tomorrow afternoon, the Bahamas competes in the heats of the women's 4x4 relay. Our team of Denisha Anderson, Megan Moss, Javonia Valcourt, and Janae Ambrose looking to push the Bahamas into the final, which is set for Sunday. Should the Bahamas advance, as we told you, it's expected that Shawnee will be available for the team. Also this weekend, Ken Mullings will make his World Championship debut in the men's decathlon. That starts at 9:50 tomorrow morning. This update on the World Athletics 2022 World Championships in Eugene, Oregon, brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas and by Powerade, distributed in the Bahamas by the Caribbean Bottling Company.
This is Guardian Radio in Bahamas.
Wake each other up. Stand and be committed. Wake each other up. Wake each other up.
And welcome back to The Revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahunanku Sarah, also known as Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, is in your company today, and I'm just excited to have those. We got all kind of people storming the studio. We got guests all the way from the UK. Calhoun Tefnut is with us, and we're talking about leadership. I'm gonna wrap up this segment in just a bit, but I'm just elated to know that we do have women, not just in the Holy Coptic Church, but other churches as well, who are stepping up to the forefront and are not being held back by some of what has been brought. Even in the clip that we started with today, with Louis Farrakhan, he said somebody brought something into original Islam that pushed women back.
Yes.
You know, we talk about Marcus Garvey, but many people don't talk about Amy Jacques Garvey, his second wife. And I have a book here that was written about her. The veiled Garvey. And let me make sure I'm giving you the correct title, just so for those people who may want to check the book out. It's called The Veiled Garvey. Mm-hmm. But in 1922, when Amy Jacques Garvey married Marcus Garvey, it says, and they quote, she fully embraced the endeavor, be conversant with subjects that would help his career, and to try to make home a haven or rest and comfort for him. Now, this is something that she chose, right? Also, it goes on to say in the same book, all right, it says, in addition, her editorials on the woman's page, she also wrote for the UNIA's newspaper, The Negro World. All right, the Holy Coptic Church, we have the Coptic Revealer that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah,
all right. And it destabilized masculinist discourse, offering a glimpse into the range and scope of feminism possible during the 1920s and a model of women as political beings who could change the world. In fact, Jacques Garvey's writings were a key component of early black feminism. She was adamant that men fulfill certain gender-specific roles, nor did she question the prevailing ideology that women should be self-sacrificing wives. So she was keeping the
balancement, yes,
between the roles. So Colin Tefner, you left off talking about how you balance your life in terms of being in the leadership. Now, you mentioned, and then we're going to jump to Minerva Zalmanet. You mentioned you have to actually, you speak in the church. You actually teach in the church.
Yes, I do. I actually teach in the church. I take the sermons.
Wow.
And, you know, we perform the sermons on a Sunday. There'll be like interviews like this one that we take or I take, you know. And so we go around. There may be, you know, we might be doing seminars in different areas. And so, yes, I'm one of the, you know, the Kahunat, part of the Kahunat.
So you do whatever the other male Kahunat do, you do as well.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. And if I'm not, step I will up. Be.
So Colin Tefner, I know is later in England than it is here. It's roughly, I guess, after 6 p.m. And I know you got Shubat coming on. Any parting words before we let you go for those aspiring, those women who think that they, you know, maybe need to step up or feel like there isn't a place for them to step up? Any parting words for our listeners today?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, where you mentioned Amy Jacques Garvey, you know, we have to let it be known. And I'm glad you mentioned her because without her,
that's right,
no one would have seen Marcus Garvey's writing and the words that he put together. She made it her duty to say, you know what, the world needs to see what he had to say.
Right.
So for those, you know, women, our young ladies, and you know, anybody who's like, I'm not sure or want to step up, you know, you go ahead, you go right ahead, because you know, they find every good man is a woman, but you know, right beside that, every good man is a woman, because they are the left and the right, you know, they are the two feet, they make one. And that's why, you know, when, you know, they get from us, they get from ancient, you know, stories, ancient dictation and doctrine, that when man and woman come together and they get married, they become one.
Yes.
Why?
That's right.
Because those are the two that's going to fit and make it work. That's your polarity, male, female.
Yes.
So for anyone who's thinking, oh, you know, should I go right ahead? Because as mentioned, there are women who leading battle. There are women writing reports. There are women who's keeping whole systems and households and foster cares and buildings and churches. And you just don't hear about them because there are a lot of them in the background. And a lot of us don't mind being in the background because we, without us, you know, it would just fall.
Yes, yeah. Crumble. That's right.
That's real.
That's real.
You know, so we just make sure your husbands, our brothers, uncles, you know, nephews up. Because we know that together, you know, we will be a force, and we are a force to be reckoned with. So, you know, if you feel like you want to step up and you want to teach and what we're teaching, you know, especially what we're teaching at the Holy Coptic Church, then come along.
Yes.
Read, because that's what we need. Yes. We need for our sisters. And that's why there was always a sisterhood, because those sisters of the sisterhood, and you had the, you know, the brothers or the men of the brotherhood who did their job. So everybody has their role.
Yes.
So yes, feel free and be proud of who you are and the strength that you have that has been passed down from our grandmothers and great-grandmothers and babies and babas before us.
Yes.
Thank you. Take that and go with it.
Yes. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. That's Calhoun Tefnut all the way from London and in the UK. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yes. Anytime.
Thank you to everybody who was listening today. And, you know, pleasant evening to you all. Shabbat Shalom to you too.
Yes. Thank you so much. Wow. Namaste. Namaste, my sister. So all the way from London. I wanted to just make sure she got her words in because she did take some time away from her busy schedule. We do have our brother C.A. Nuri in studio. We're going to run to this call because I know this person's been waiting for a while, and I do apologize, caller, for having you wait so long. Just wanted to get through that segment. But caller, you are on The Revolution. Welcome.
Is that me?
How you doing?
Yeah, godly day to this talking away so long with you and, oh boy.
Aminette,
how are you?
I'm wonderful. Elder Bremen. They're great. Thank you for asking.
Hey, man, I should have been in class with this question in which I want stock.
Okay.
But, the Calhoun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, she left so early. I wish she had stayed.
See, what happened in London, you know, in the
whole... Yes, I understand.
Well, there's a time difference, and we're moving into our Sabbath or our Shabbat, so she's preparing for that right now, yeah.
Yeah, but what I want to ask, what I want to bring to your attention, right? Mm. She spake of the history of the Ten Commandments, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that the Ten Commandments is the history from the original books of the Bible, right?
Yes, from the book of Ma'at.
I just give my original books of the Bible to my granddaughter.
Wow. Well,
I got to get me another one.
Yeah, okay. We got to make sure I get you another one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got to, man.
Yeah.
Hey, but what I want to say, right? My question is, when it comes to the Black Messiah Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
How I should ask this question? The Calhoun could have two wives, right?
That's scriptural. That is scriptural, yes.
Okay, now the thing is, with the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yes.
So explain that to me, please.
Adultery, when you look up this word adultery, right, it's not speaking...
Speak right in the mic, because if not, I'm going to have to turn the radio out.
You can hear me? You can hear
right.
All right. When you look up this word adultery, it's not talking about what is being referenced as adultery in today's society. All right?
It's not being referenced to.
Well, I'm looking. It's Exodus chapter 20.
Uh-huh.
Right, and I just want to make sure that we look at the word itself, because as a teaching church, we must go to the language, because language is key.
Language is key. Yes.
All right.
Right.
In Exodus chapter 20, and just forgive me as I find that particular.
14, thou shalt not commit adultery.
All right. So thou shalt not commit adultery. All right. This is my E-sword, and this is the Strong's Concordance.
And okay.
The blue letter gives even more detail. All right. But it says... to commit adultery, to apostatize, adulterer, and it then says adulteress. Committing adultery, woman that breaketh wedlock. So even in this word is na'af, even within the language, is making reference to women breaking this, what they call wedlock, right? When you read scripture and it talks about Israel, and it says Israel basically went a whoring after other gods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This idea of adultery was more so mixing your original ways with the ways of foreigners. I say that because if you look at what they call Solomon, Solomon, they'll say, had 700 wives, 300 concubines. But what caused Solomon to fall wasn't him having those wives. Now, that's a lot of wives. That's too much for me, right? Right? 700, right? But what caused him to fall was that he had strange women.
Mm-hmm. That introduced him to strange gods.
And so that was more of what the issue was, not having more than one wife. Let me say this also. The chosen people within Scripture, they call them the Israelites. And we know there's more than just the Israelites, there's the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. But these people called the Israelites, they are a polygamous family. Jacob has two wives, they'll say, and two concubines, or, you know, there's four wives. Because I say that because all of the children are seen as one of those 12 tribes. They don't lessen any of the children. It's a family. Yeah. The Canaanite comes in and starts determining who's an outside child and all that stuff. We never had that, right? But if this family is seen as the chosen, then this must be the template that the Most High had for his people. We say that we are the children of Abraham. Abraham, at any one time, had at least two wives. He had Sarah and Hagar. And then when Sarah passed, then he had Keturah.
Mm-hmm. But tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that churches, right, teaches that it's a negative connotation?
Because the Greco-Roman stepped in. The Greco-Roman, who, that was not something that they wanted to practice for their various reasons. And quite frankly, they go the opposite way with it.
Yes.
They say that it's okay for men to be with men and women to be with women.
And to have orgies.
And all of these different things. That's a part of their culture. And then they step into the African culture and say that when we have families with consenting adults where a man and more than one woman say, we're going to come together and have a family, then they call that negative.
Right.
Because it causes us to proliferate. It causes us to be on the planet more so than them.
I got you.
You understand? That's why the studies will show that the Greco-Romans and even others are having problems having children. But when you go to Sub-Saharan Africa, it talks about Sub-Saharan Africa tripling by the end of the century, where in other countries it's being cut down by half. So
that open up another situation. Here it is, America right now trying to get away with whereby women should not be getting abortion, right?
Yeah, they overturned Roe v. Wade. Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
They overturned the court case Roe v. Wade. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Other thing is, right? Also, they're trying to get rid of a part of the population. They're saying that there are, I'm speaking generally now, that is too many people on earth to be fed.
Right.
But that's not true according to their own studies. That's why Elon Musk is saying the opposite. They're having a back and forth tug of war discussion about whether there's too many people or not enough people. Elon Musk is saying the crisis is that we won't have enough people. And he's talking about his people. That's why they have fraternity. If we had too many people, think about it now. If there was really going to be too many people on the planet, they should close down all the fertility clinics. But it's quite the opposite. They're making sure their women do not have a... That wasn't about black people at all. That was about the Canaanite or the so-called white woman not having abortions because they got to keep their numbers up. And I'm not mad at them for it. I'm not, you know, for abortion or against abortion in that way. I'm just saying women, in terms of how they deal with their bodies, that should no man should be standing over them telling them, you need to do this and you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you right now, if a woman is raped or through incest or her life is in danger for having a child, she should be able to do what she has to do.
Okay, let me ask you something else, and I'm going to let you go. When the portion of scripture, what you had earlier read, speaking about going to Haran, right? That was speaking of the church, right?
Well, they mention the church. They mention it as the church. But it's talking about people going after foreign nations, going after the foreign gods and the foreign ways of their oppressors.
Got you. Okay, thank you, bud. Hey, I'm in there.
Yes, sir.
Tell the children I said hello, please, okay?
I will. Thank
you. And you all have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
You too, Elder.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to bring in our good friend, C.A. Nuri, at this point. My brother, you've been here quietly observing for a while now, and I wanted to get you in even earlier, but you're here now. And I know that we are juicy discussions offline, but we started to have a discussion about who the Gentiles were.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And I won't dive into that. We got about half an hour left, but go ahead and let's.
No,
let's...
I mean, we were having a discussion offline, and I said we'll wait until Friday, and today is Friday.
Right.
But I was entertained by the Cahoon from out of London there, so I listened intently.
Yeah.
I was entertained to know that women have so much rights in the church to carry on.
Yeah.
You know, because some religion says that women are the messengers. They can say the message, but not necessarily preach. But I was impressed and I was moved by it. But my question was, who were the Gentiles?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up knowing that the Gentiles came from up north, or they lived up north.
Yeah.
So therefore, Africans, people of my hue, could not have been considered as Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if there's any reference to that. And besides that, I also want to know about the flood, right? Was the entire world flooded at a particular time,
right?
Right, and was there only one set of people, the Noah story?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the only story? Or perhaps one or two other people around the world was able to stay on a mountain or use one of those jetties and sit on and say, man, I can wait this one out. You know? I think Mel Gibson had a story or some story where they come across other people on this Noah, on this boat.
Yeah.
And I want to know if that's any possibilities, any other culture has a story of a big flood and not necessarily a Noah story.
Right. All right. So we're going to jump into it after this break on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk. All day. Keep it locked.
Past, break each other up. Feel that motivating blast. Don't be distracted. Break each other up. Stand and be committed.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind 50 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-355 256-0249.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're in a sad state of urgency. Time to clean away the debris. Saying nothing just to keep the peace does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up.
And we're back here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Calhoun Ankusa, Dr. Cleveland, WNES the Third. Sitting in with Minerva Zaire, or Associate Pastor Aminet Hikaka, also known as Tisha Fritz Enius. And let me just be clear, I did not make her Minerva Zaire. I didn't make her an Associate Pastor. She earned that. Okay? She's a part of the Holy Coptic Church Seminary, and you don't just get titles thrown at you.
Oh, no. You gotta work. Gotta work.
You know what I'm saying? But CA, you threw a lot at me before the break. Let me just quickly take this call. I see this caller here, and then we'll dive into answering those questions. Caller, you're on The Revolution here on 96.9. Hey, 52, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in, you know, and good afternoon to your guests.
Yes.
The narrative that you was running before the Bremen, that's eugenics, right? And all of that is entailed in the book called An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem.
Mm.
And so it was positive eugenics and negative eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always was pondering about something that came up. You talk about, you know, females, you know, you all remember Nefertiti, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Egyptian. So we know the power of women.
Yeah.
And I'm not in denial, but I'm trying to find out where these particular paradigms originated from. And so at one point in history, the Roman Catholic priests were allowed to marry, right?
I've heard. I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know when they outlawed it, but then I noticed that subsequently in the Bible, if today you see a woman walking around, you have to be out of the classroom here. If a woman, like the narrative about Mary of Magdalene, what they call Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
being a prostitute, I always thought that was fallacious, and the paradigm set by the papacy, because if a woman walk around with 12 disciples or 12 men, people would say that. So I always thought if some of these are really constructs against females, and they just, so you could opine on that.
Okay.
And you know, I guess you could answer CA Newry. All right. Thanks, man.
Anything you want to share on that?
Well, when we speak about Mary Magdalene, right, being amongst the 12 disciples, it is easy for us to give that perspective, but we have to understand where is that perspective coming from, because let us also look at part of the story when Jesus resurrected. Who did he show himself first to?
Mm.
So
the same Mary.
Mm. So it also gives reference to say that she was also being learned.
Mm.
You know, Jesus was also teaching her. She was a part of being taught.
Wow.
Whereas she may not have been called a disciple, but obviously she was close enough and being learned, whereas where Jesus, when he was resurrected, he showed himself to Mary at first.
Matter of fact, she seemed like she's the bravest one. She's going, look at them.
I'm a creature of instructions, and I acknowledge that Jesus gave her instructions.
Mm.
Right?
Ah. Yes.
And a particular instruction, you go and tell them.
Yes.
You would be the messenger.
There we go.
And tell them.
Yeah.
And then it starts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So without Mary being there, the message could not be conveyed.
Exactly.
That's right.
So it shows the importance of her, not that she was a prostitute, but she.
And that's also a myth, and they corrected that later on.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was just.
They corrected it later on in the Bible?
It's not mentioned by it was different Marys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Different Marys altogether.
Yeah, they just mention that, and then people run with it.
Ran with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's just throw that seed there, that the little that there, yeah. And run with that.
Yeah. So this idea of the Gentiles, right? Genesis chapter 10, it makes mention, if we start at verse 4, it says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations. Now, that's interesting because Genesis 11 talks about the Tower of Babel, and they said at that time there was one language, but here we have other languages being spoken before that chapter where they talk about there was only one language. So that's a whole other show, right? But this Javan, right, in order for us to appreciate who Javan was and why, when you look at the word Javan, as I was showing you, I think it was yesterday or the day before, when you look up this word Javan, because they were saying out of this Javan comes the actual Gentiles. When you look up Yavan in the concordance, this word Yavan, it means Ionia or Greece. So it's telling us who these Gentiles actually are. They're coming out of the Greeks. Now, the Greeks. Now, you say up north, same premise, the Greeks. Now, when you go to the original books of the Bible, into the Bereshith, into the 10th scroll, the 14th verse that aligns with the same Genesis chapter 10, verse 4, Bismillah Rabb al-Khaliku al-Kareem. And that, what that means is, in the name of the Most High Heavenly One, who is sustainer of the boundless universes, the creator, the generous one. We're invoking the name of the Most High when we say that. In the Tamaraya, called the ancient African language that's related to what's called Arabic or Hebrew, etc. All right? It says, and the Javanites as descendants of Javan, and his Melanite, or his black wife, some would say, but his Melanite wife, Sauda, okay, were Yelisha with his wife, Lilith. So this is another Lilith. And number two, Tarshish and his wife, Ga'ama. Two genetic lines of Nubian Melanites who kept their seed pure. So this was the seed of Javan with his so-called black wife. Right. Javan, though being a true Melanite, suffered from self-hate, wherein he, as a leader of his clan, did open the door by which they became impure, corrupted, and sickened due to him marrying Iris, a daughter of the 11 plus 1 sons of Canaan. And Javan was thus guilty of mixing his genetic seed with the seed of wickedness. And then there were the wicked Javanites, who were descendants of Javan and his melanin recessive Canaanite wife, Iris. And these descendants were Kitty with his wife Miriam, and Dodanim and his wife Juanita. So these are the names mentioned in the king. Right. This name, Dodanim and Kittim or Kitty. All right. They were two genetic lines of mixed Canaanite Neutronoid genealogy who violated the Book of Ma'at, whereby they did further mix their seed with the Caucasus Asian seed of Canaan. And these two groups of Javanites, one of the original Nubian Melanite seed and the other of the Caucasus Asian seed of Canaan, did divide and separate from one another, wherein the Melanite seed did remain fully embraced to their true faith of Platonism, and thus the Caucasian or Caucasus Asian seed of the Javanite did separate themselves from the Melanite line, wherein they migrated to the Aegean and Greek Isles, where they did call themselves Ionians. So out of Javan comes these two seeds. The mixed seed ultimately gives way to who we know as Alexander the Greek, the Greeks, right? Now, when it talks about them being wicked, what it's talking about is them twisting the laws, the original laws. That's really what this word wicked or wicca, you talk about wicca furniture. This idea of twisting and not following the law as it had been given.
Distorting,
yes, right? Yeah. And so these Gentiles were never us as Africans. But when the Gentiles got a hold of the scriptures, they then said, oh yeah, there's a curse, they say, on the seed of Ham. But the seed of Ham that they're making reference to, they make it seem like Ham, the son of Noah. But the original, the Ham that they're talking about is Ham, the 11th son of Hamath tribe, who then mixes in with these Canaanites, right? So to answer the question then as to who these Gentiles are, the Bible, not me, not the Holy Catholic Church, the Bible that we just read makes it clear that these are the, none other than the Greeks. And this is who Yahshua said not to go to in Matthew 10 and 5. Again, this ain't me saying it. Matthew 10 and 5. Let's just look at it quickly.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew 10. And then we'll get to the flood story. All right. And Matthew 10 is the Messiah is saying to his disciples where to go. Right? He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth, or Yahshua sent forth, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. He made it very clear, don't go. So when we start looking at Paul's writings, yes, and where the churches that Paul was setting up were set up, he was setting them up in the Greek city states,
right,
which goes against what the real and living Messiah, Yahshua, actually was teaching. And as a matter of fact, Paul and the real Messiah didn't have the same mission anyway. Paul was going to the Gentiles, and Yahshua wasn't going to the Gentiles. Again, that's another show. Answer the question is talking about these Greeks.
But wasn't the New Testament written in Greek?
The New Testament wasn't written in Greek. It was translated into Greek.
Yeah.
So when they created what's called the Septuagint, where they took the Old Testament and they say 70 scribes put this writing into the Greek, what they were doing was taking what they understood of our original records and placing them or putting them in a language that would work for their people.
And with their narrative.
With their narrative, you see? And so by the time as you get to the so-called, first of all, there was no such thing as a New Testament. Why would you need a New Testament and you have everlasting covenants in the Old Testament?
Right.
There's no New Testament. There's a Renewed Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you need a Renewed Testament? You would need a Renewed Testament because people fell away from the covenants of old. In Genesis 9, when this rainbow is given as a token of an everlasting covenant, that everlasting covenant still exists from Genesis 9. So why would you then need a new covenant in the book of Matthew? No, it was a renewed covenant that had to be put back in place because the same thing that Brayman was asking about, adultery, Or following foreign ways and foreign mores and foreign cultures, we fell away from our original covenant and had to be brought back into that covenant. You understand?
Mm.
So no, it wasn't written in the Greek. And a matter of fact, if you really do research on what they call the New Testament, there are thousands of manuscripts. They just pick which ones they want to say is the Bible. Yeah. Now, as far as the flood story, there was a time when the entire planet was with water. But that would have been billions of years ago. As a matter of fact, within our records of the Holy Coptic Church, it references 24 billion years ago. That, however, is in alignment with or can be compared to cycles that take place naturally with our planet, whereby every 25,000 years, you have what's called a polar shift. And so when you read about the flood in Genesis chapter 6, right, it's not making reference to that original flood period in Genesis 1.
Mm.
Because Genesis 1 is when everything is what? Dark and void was upon the deep.
Yes.
So it starts out as a flood. The first flood in the Bible is in Genesis 1, not Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time as you get to Genesis 6, what's taking place is one part of the planet, which was the Nile River Valley.
Yes.
And those who were in the Nile River Valley, Nuach, who becomes Noah in the King James, he and those who are with him, they must move out of that area, and they end up in what is called Sumeria today, which is why you have Nimrod, the son of Cush, which they say is Ethiopia, building five cities in this area, one being Akkad, one being Sumer, Chalna, et cetera, there are five cities, Babylon, right, and Erech. They're building these cities of Nile River Valley into this area called Sumeria. That particular story is captured in the records of the Sumerians by way of one called Utnapishtim. Mm. So when you read the Gilgamesh epics, they talk about a flood story and a flood hero, mm-hmm. and this Utnapishtim, who was really a zoologist. And that ties in how he's able to not put two of every animal or seven of every animal onto an ark, but they were getting actual genes from animals. And how were they getting these genes? They were taking babies. They were mm-hmm. taking the babies of the animals. So when they were able to come off of the ark in the new area that they would be inhabiting, they could allow those animals to go and begin to do what they do and create the environment that was needed to be created. So yes, there are the Chinese have a flood story. The Hindus have a flood story. And the Africans have a flood story. The Greco-Romans also have a flood story. They are different flood stories, but we cannot be held captive by one flood story and say it is the flood story.
Stories happen at the same time, or no. just these are different flood stories?
These are different flood stories because every 25,000 years is a polar shift. Mm-hmm. That polar shift, is what we're going through
it right now. Mm-hmm. So more like there'll be a flood.
So this is why...
Just talk about the Bahamas being underwater.
Exactly.
I need to learn to swim.
Yeah. We got to
You need to find a place to go to.
And you could come to swim at Lightning Aquatics. He bought a blue wave. That's why ideas are there.
I went to school. Yeah. I was a blue wave. Yes, he was a blue wave too.
Okay, we got to run to a break and come back right after this on The Revolution. Keep it locked.
You can't talk to no blue wave.
Just to keep the peace. Does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up from the habit of the past. Break each other up. Feel that motivating blast. Break each other up.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind. Wilmax Pharmacy. A team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIV drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Wilmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy? Who this is? Tamika? You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
What's your flavor?
Tell me what you got.
Gotta have it some power right now, now. Replenish me, hydrate me, bring power to my game. Oh, so let me have it. I need some power. So tell me, what's your flavor?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wake each other up. With that positive energy that represents you and me, it will surely germinate when you turn your dial to awake.
Welcome back to The Revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahuna Kusara. Sitting in with Minivazir Amanatika Ka, also known as Associate Pastor. And we're sitting here with our brother C.A. Nuri There's a lot we've been talking about. Time goes so quickly. Yes. But Minister, you were making a point on the break. I just want you to please share that on air.
Yeah, so as our brother C.A. Nuri was asking us about, and you were explaining about the Noah's flood, mm-hmm. we have to be mindful and we have to know that the Bible is not the problem.
That's right.
It is the mistranslation and misinterpretation of what was originally there.
Yeah.
So if we go into the Zondervan King James Bible, it literally states there that the translation and interpretation was coming from ancient texts.
Well, yeah.
And I can read some of the ancient texts that the scriptures were translated and from. So they say the Marie tablets, which is from Akkadian, the Gilgamesh epics, the Nazu tablets. You want me to say what it says?
Yeah, right next to Gilgamesh epics, because of what we're talking about. What does it say? The Gilgamesh epics is about. It's right next to it.
I think you have
Is it there?
I think my page.
No problem. Keep going.
No, see there. Sorry.
You got it? Okay. All right.
So the Gilgamesh epic, it says the Akkadian, early second millennium BC. Gilgamesh ruled numerous adventures, including a meeting with Utnapishtim. That's who you were saying about the Sumerian.
Yes.
So the Sumerian perspective is their Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And the only survivor of the great deluge. And the deluge is the flood.
Yeah.
You understand? And so him to attend, if you look in Proverbs or Psalms, you will see the hymn of attend. The Ishtar's descent, lamentation over the destruction of Ur, which is also from the Sumerian text.
Two more.
Let's say the Ebla tablets, which is Sumerian as well. The Dead Sea Scrolls. The Amana letters, and the Amana letters are speaking about the Canaanite Akkadian, hundreds of letters written primarily by Canaanite scribes illuminate social, political, and religious relationships between Canaan and Egypt during the reigns of Amenhotep III and Akhenaten.
So this Akhenaten is very much a part of the scripture, whether they bring him forward or not, the scriptures that are being written that we're calling the Bible today are coming out of his writings in part.
And so when you look at some of the stories, and if you read some of these ancient stories and ancient papyruses, you will see the direct influence of certain characters in the Bible, you know, in certain stories.
We ain't got much time, so sorry to cut you there. The church, someone is asking where we're located. We're now off of Wolf Road on Woods Alley. All right, 426-1148, 426-1148. And I can reach out to some of the people who've been texting. We got a caller, quickly caller. We got to get out of here, so let's just see if you can get in. You got 10 seconds. Go ahead. Yeah.
10 seconds, they really going to give me that.
I'm so sorry. Everything just ran up. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. I listen to you all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's some little discrepancies, right? Because you talk about the rainbow in the skies, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the flood,
mm-hmm.
and there was something that God said mentioned about the rainbow. He said this rainbow is a sign between Noah and himself,
right,
that he would never destroy this earth again with water.
Right.
Never destroy this earth again with water.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that you are familiar with that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean?
So let's do this. Why don't we're gonna start with your question next Friday? Can we do that?
I'm sorry.
Can you call in next? At the start of the show, I want to start with your question, or your point that you're making.
Okay.
So we can really dive into it.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate you calling. I wish we had more time.
Yes.
And I'm happy that you did call in. C.A. Nuri, thank you for being here, my brother.
Always a pleasure, man.
Yeah.
Next week we'll definitely have you back. Minister Aminet, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we thank Kaho and Tefnet from the UK. And we thank you as our listeners. We want to say happy birthday to Haile Selassie tomorrow.
Right.
They say tomorrow's Haile Selassie's birthday. I'm pretty sure that person who texted that in is correct. So I hope you didn't give me wrong information. No, the 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd. So we want to say respect to all our Rastafarian brothers and sisters out there. And we want to say happy birthday to Haile Selassie and to anyone else who may be sharing that birthday with them, with Haile Selassie. My name is Kahun Anku Sarah, and it's been great being here with you on The Revolution. Keep it locked for more fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family.
Tune up your frequency. Take control of your destiny. Do what only you must do. Courage will guide you through.